This is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good day and a good week. And oh my gosh, we're in October. It happened. It's October 2nd right now as I record this. You'll probably hear it later. I can't believe how time is passing. My Depeche Mode concert is now 8 days away. I'm just nuts. If any of you are going to this concert, now you know. I don't like to give a lot of information, obviously, and put it out into public. But now you know, it's 8 days away, and I live in Florida. If you're going to the same concert, feel free to give me an email, because maybe I can meet up with you. I'm going to spend a few days in that part of Florida. And I am open to meeting you guys. I want to dedicate this podcast specifically to C, because she sent me a birthday gift, and I am speechless, and I don't know what to say about it. Because I feel undeserving. I really, really, really do. I know that I may not know what my words are doing to some of you, because I'm on this side, and some of you may not be telling me. But all I'm doing is passing on my experience in the hopes that you guys won't have to experience it so harshly as I did. So, C, I love you. I appreciate you. You're doing great. And hopefully we will meet soon. All right. Moving on to the podcast. Today I want to talk about something I just happened to see a video on. And because it's happening to me right now, or, I mean, not right this second, but it's been happening to the point where I've reached out to my EMDR therapist. I thought making a podcast about it would be useful to you guys, because hearing about it was useful to me. And I mentioned Chris Godinez, and I'll put her in the show notes if I remember. If not, I have other podcasts where I just write. It's KrisGodinez. She is a therapist that focuses on trauma, and specifically narcissistic trauma. Okay, and specifically childhood trauma, you know, when it's a parent. She made a video about it, the different types of attachments, you know, anxious attachment, or, you know, it's just the different types of how we feel in our relationships. Secure attachment is the one we strive for, right? That's the type of attachment where it's in a healthy relationship. The two of you can separate, and both of you feel that the other person is coming back, is not just going to leave and abandon you. And you're not jealous and constantly worried. Now, let me separate two things here for you. As women, we do have a spidey sense when our husbands or boyfriends are cheating on us. I know that. This is not about that, okay? If you have a spidey sense and you feel my husband has changed his behavior. He changed his perfume. He lost weight. He cut his hair differently. He's taking more showers. He goes to the gym more often. He's going on business trips. All right. And I'm not saying, please, just because I mentioned something your husband's doing. My husband just changed his hair. And he's lost weight, but he's not cheating on me. That's not, you know, just because a few of these may be true for you doesn't mean it's true that your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, are cheating on you at all. I'm just saying, we know when it's happening, right? We have a gut sense about it. If that's what's happening, please investigate, find out, and deal with that. That's different, okay? But I'm talking about when there's no reason to feel insecure in your relationship, but you still do. And you need to hear, I love you constantly. And you're asking, do you love me? Do you love me? Now, it's crazy. I'm going to say something because it kind of, you know how you hear something and how kids say it nowadays, and even adults that try to be cool, that it unlocked a fear or unlocked a memory. Well, watching the video unlocked something for me. It triggered it, right? I talk about my ex and how I really never really loved my ex, and the relationship was really difficult. Now, by the way, one of the symptoms of this kind of these attachment issues is staying in a bad relationship for way too long. And I was like, yeah, me, 8 years married to someone I didn't want to be married to, but I didn't even know that I could get out. I thought I was stuck in that marriage forever because I was raised Catholic. And in a lot of religions, divorce is just not a thing. And that's another story, but my ex-husband, I remember asking him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Even though deep down inside, it was me who didn't love him. Well, I really, and I hate saying this, I do, because I feel bad. And maybe I shouldn't feel bad because I'm just being honest. The only reason I was with him was because I knew my mother would like him. Right? He was the same nationality, which she was very clear about that being an issue, because my boyfriend during my senior year of high school was not. And she made my life very difficult while I really liked him. So I pushed forward with that relationship regardless of what she wanted. But she made my life very, very difficult. And I love how my family made light of all of that. They made light of it. They made fun. They laughed. That's still freaking painful. That they laughed at my misery. Anyway, okay, so after him, we broke up and I was depressed for a long time. My mother didn't really ask how I was feeling. She was just relieved I wasn't with him anymore. I was doing what she wanted. And she thought that this was the time. It's funny because it's right around my birthday and I'm going to mention this. This was the time that I should, that she was going to give me a surprise birthday party. And yes, people, I'm about to say what I'm about to say. She got me a stripper. I talked to a friend of mine from high school who lived in the area. I was no longer in high school. I was in college. But she went to the same college as me, and she lived near the college, which was near where I lived. And she was invited. And several people, it was coincidental. Our school got in touch with all of us that weekend, because our yearbooks were in. So there were girls from that went to school upstate and stuff that were in town. So I had quite a few of my high school friends were there. And my mother got a stripper, a male stripper, because she, you know, I had always wanted a surprise birthday party. And this specific year, I said, I don't want a birthday party because I don't even want to celebrate my birthday. I'm not in a mood to do it. I just want to let it pass. And this time she did it. And contracted a stripper, and all it did was make me and my friends feel uncomfortable. So that's, you know, that's exactly how a narcissist works, right? They don't do what you ask. At any point, they do the opposite. Anyway, I am so off base here, but I'm not, because I'm showing you things that happened and how I came up with these bad anxious attachment issues. So there's two things that can happen. You can have an anxious attachment. I am sorry about the noises. I just woke up and I was inspired, and that's when I record these. You either have an anxious attachment where you cannot be alone, which is happening to me right now. And that's what I want to talk about. Or you are fiercely independent because you learned at an early age that you can depend on the grown-ups in your life, on the people who are supposed to love you. And you learned that at an early age because you would go to them and they didn't help you. You felt like you were a nuisance. Because that's how they made you feel. So then you became independent. And I never asked for help, right? Never asked for anyone for help. So there's many different things that happen. And you stay in a bad relationship or with someone you don't even want to be with because of the anxious attachment. Because of the fear of being alone is so big that you would rather stay with someone you don't want to be with. And that is awful. That's what happened to me. I was with a man that, okay, let's put it this way. Currently, haven't talked to him in a long time, which I'm so happy about. And I stopped, you know, slowly, I stopped thinking about him and his wife and all of that. And my thinking about him was more, I hate him so much for everything he's put me through. During being married to him, but after the divorce, he ramped up the abuse with my daughter, right? Using my daughter. Him and his wife, both. You know, she's... I'm going to leave it at that. But I wanted to stay in that relationship and I wanted to feel security even though I had none. Because he didn't love me either. That's the thing. If he did, he would have behaved differently. But I chose him because he looked good on paper. And I stayed with him married for 8 years. Because I couldn't get a divorce. I didn't marry someone to get divorced. And then when I was thinking about the possibility of a divorce, it was, oh my God, my parents are going to stop talking to me. And it did happen. But I chose correctly. I have never been sorry I got divorced. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. My life was just on the other side of that divorce. My real life. My real husband. The person I love. And we have been married for almost 16 years now. So twice as long. And I've never, I mean, not never. Of course, you have a fight once in a while. And you're like, I just, you know, you think I want to get divorced. And that's also a trauma response to want to run. Okay? Because you want, especially if you've had a situation where you did want to run and you couldn't. Right? You felt trapped. Well, now it's like, no, I'm not going to be trapped. You're not going to control me. That these are all trauma responses to what happened to you as a child. to work through those things, you need a good therapist, right? Because me telling you my story is validating to you. I know it is. But it's not gonna get you out of the situation or change your situation. That's work you have to do with a therapist that knows trauma. People, if you get a therapist and they make any excuse for the narcissist, like, oh, they were abused too. No, because we were abused and we're not narcissists, okay? Because we're healthy people. Healthy people don't turn into bad people. Only bad people turn into bad people. if you understand what I'm saying. So people with anxious attachments can be fiercely independent, which sounds like a good thing, but it's a trauma response, unfortunately. So if you thought it was a good thing, it's not really a good thing. It's you're responding to your trauma by not letting anyone in, and that's going to cause you to have relationships in which you're not completely vulnerable. So what happens in these situations? You're going to sabotage the relationship, right? So they don't last very long. You're going to walk away. You're going to give any reason to just walk away. And I've been there too. I have, right after I got divorced, actually, at the beginning of my relationship with my husband, I wasn't going to let anybody control me, because at that point I had been in an 8-year marriage that was awful. I had been dating a guy for 8 months that was a classic textbook narcissist. And I wasn't going to allow someone else to control me. And every little thing that he said, that my husband said, I would look at it as controlling, right? We met on Match.com back in 2006. Yes, that long ago. And I met him and it worked. I hear that Match is very different now. He told me when we decided to start seeing each other that he didn't want me to see anybody else. And I did not like that. Especially since I knew he was still talking to another girl. Now, I will admit, that is not right. You know, and believe me, that was something we hashed out a long time ago. And he recognizes that maybe he shouldn't have continued talking. He goes, it wasn't romantic. I said, yeah, but you didn't want me to go out or see or talk to any other men, yet you were talking to another girl. That kind of seems a little bit, you know, ironic, or, you know, hi, Puffy. You're going to be in my video, in my podcast from now on? That's okay with me. I was ready always to run away. And I remember I did that little pose where it looked like I was going to start running, like one hand in front, one hand behind, one foot in front, one foot behind. And I would say to him, I'm ready to go. And I wasn't kidding. I would have just run away from the situation. I did not want to be controlled. And I went as far as disappearing that weekend. And by disappearing, it was, you know, ghosting. He kept calling and calling, and I just didn't pick up the phone and I didn't answer him. And the fact that we're together says a lot, because he put up with me doing that. And that is just a defense mechanism. It's trauma response. I'm not going to let you do to me what was done to me before. Right? And some of you may have that naturally just because you were raised in a controlling environment like me. But with me, it was more needing to hear that I was loved and they weren't going to leave me. I have the anxious attachment. Right? So being fiercely independent is not necessarily a good thing. Independence and, you know, those people who are like, I don't need anybody in my life. Well, yeah, we all need people in our lives. We were not created to be alone. We are created to be. So we need to recognize how we are dealing with attachments to people. Okay? Are we clingy? Do we need the constant reassurance that we're being loved, you know? I am very fortunate that I somehow, without recognizing my past trauma, was able to get into a relationship with a person who was understanding. Now, we were both going through things. We met, and we always talk, I always talk about this. The fact that if we had met a year later to the date, we would have both been in a better place for each other. But we kind of did some healing in that first year, right? A lot of healing from our past relationships. He had tremendous loss when I met him. So it was an okay situation, and things happen the way they're supposed to happen. I do truly believe that. All right. Now, I guess I was going to name this podcast something about being alone, but I guess it has just evolved into something else. I have that problem that I don't like to be alone. And I don't mean without a relationship. I mean literally being alone in the house. So right now I'm working part-time. And Mondays, I'm alone. Okay, Mondays are very hard on me because I've had my husband with me Saturday and Sunday. Like, Fridays are great. I'm also home on Friday. So I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday full time, right, the whole day. And I'm off Mondays and Fridays. Fridays are great, right? Because you're like, yay, the weekend, it's Friday. It's different. But Monday rolls around and for the past 2 weeks, I've had a lot of anxiety up to the point of having panic attacks. And it's become physical in the sense that I haven't been feeling well physically, and it's affecting me more than just having a little bit of anxiety on Monday. So I did schedule an EMDR session for this coming Friday. No, the next Friday after that. Because I need to get through this being alone thing. It's okay for me to be alone. I've gone as far as changing my schedule so that I do go in on Mondays. So I'm going to work 4 days, shorter hours for 4 days, because I don't want to be alone in the house on Mondays because they're awful. Now, I will be honest. The fact that I saw this video last night and I'm able to recognize my issue, I'm not feeling as anxious right now. Sometimes that is helpful, especially with anxiety, is recognizing what the issue is, where it comes from, and saying to yourself, it's okay to be alone. It's okay to be quiet and having alone time, and it's okay because you are your best comfort, and the best company you can have, right, is you. I mean, I love my husband, of course, and I want to be with him. And he wants to be with me, and he shows it to me. But it's okay to be alone. And we give each other space, right? When he's here on the weekends and stuff. And it's like, he likes to play video games. I'm not a video game person. So there are times when I'm like, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and take a couple hours, go play your video games. Let's go play. I will stay in the room and I'll watch, you know, one of my reality shows or, you know, a love, you know, romance movie, Hallmark movie or some, a Lifetime movie. But Yeah, I mean, I've been having really bad issues with being alone physically, you know? Because I also thought when I started watching the video that she meant, like, alone as in I don't have a relationship, which that was the truth also for me. But that's not the case, you know? I've been married 16 years. But I'll be honest, the idea of him meeting somebody and falling in love with someone else and leaving me cripples me, okay? I'm not going to lie about that. And I talked to him about that, and he swears up and down. But I know that anything is possible. I've seen it. I'm old enough to know that a marriage that could look perfect, something can go wrong, and it ends. And that is my biggest fear. I hope that doesn't happen to me, because we do love each other. And I think that both of us, because we love each other, we have that respect and that boundary with other people, right? When I was married the first time, my eye wandered. I never did anything about it. I never talked to anybody. I never did anything. But, I looked around. I was very young and in a bad situation. And it was almost comforting, I guess, just to see. Now, my ex, I know, did things about it. I don't know how far it went, but I do know there was someone that he was pursuing. I didn't find out. I knew it already, but I didn't care. And that's crazy. When I had my daughter and stayed home for 2 years from work, I knew that he was pursuing this girl that he worked with. And after I got separated, I talked to someone that I knew, because she started working with me in my department and then got a permanent job in his department. Me and him worked at the same company because I worked in HR and I referred him there. I'm not going to say I got him the job, but I referred him there. And me and this girl talked after the separation, and she asked me, so what's going on with so-and-so? And I said, you tell me, because I wasn't there. I didn't see it happen. I said, I know something was going on. She goes, yeah, he would spend a lot of time, you know, walking over to her cubicle. I said, but she wasn't interested in him. And that was the other thing, was that I knew she wasn't interested. I know what I was married to, and I also knew that she was engaged, and I didn't think that he was going to actually cheat, because she didn't want anything to do with that, right? But the fact that he wanted to should have been enough for me to say, you know what, you want to cheat on me, it's over. But I was too scared, right? And I had a baby, and even though I didn't want to be there. But I moved to Florida and something really switched in my head. I was working full time. At the time, I could support myself on the little salary I was making. And let me tell you, it was tiny. And I could support myself. I could pay the rent and the bills. And I could get divorced. And I did. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It really was. But on the same token, before that happened, I needed the constant reassurance that he loved me, that he loved me, that he loved me. And I didn't really want it from him. I wanted it from my mother and my father. Because as it turns out, now, don't get me wrong, I know my father's faults, right? He wasn't around. Okay, when I was a kid, I never saw my father. He worked two jobs, Monday through Saturday. Sundays, he was exhausted. I never saw my dad. I'm not kidding here. When I got married, he switched. He was working one job and he switched the time so that he would work during the day. That would have been when I would have seen him more when I got married. But I was married. I was gone. I, for all intents and purposes, my dad wasn't there, period. He just wasn't. And then my mom was neglectful and abusive. Isn't that perfect? You know, it's hard sometimes to look and really be honest about what was going on in your own past. And that was it. He wasn't there and she was too much. Too much and not enough at the same time. Isn't that crazy, right? So I suppose that wanting to hear, I love you, I'm not going anywhere, was because I needed to hear it. My dad never said it to me. Never. My mom never said it to me. She would write it in a card, like in a birthday card, but she never said it. So that's where these, you know, bad attachments happen, where you're either so independent that you're willing to walk away from a good relationship, or that you do it so you don't get hurt, right? Or you want to be told all the time, I'm not going to leave you. I love you. I'm not going to leave you. Now, with borderline personality disorder, and please, I am not saying anything bad about borderlines here, okay? But borderlines, that is one of the main symptoms, is that they are so afraid of being left alone that they will do whatever it takes, or they push the person away. So exactly what I'm talking about. And borderlines come from abuse as well, okay? Now, yes, there are malignant borderlines. If you're listening to me and you are a borderline person, you are not malignant. Again, a malignant borderline does not realize they are malignant and does not listen to podcasts like this. Okay, I know that borderlines are misunderstood. I am not one of those people. I have done a lot of research recently on borderlines just because it's interesting. And because I've always thought maybe in part I was borderline, but my symptoms don't exactly line up. My symptoms are the symptoms of maladaptive, you know, issues growing up. Right? My anxiety and depression, that it's all from how I was raised. And I don't have the same issues. I don't just go and spend money and money and money. Now, do I do that sometimes? Yeah, like I just got paid and I'm going on a trip. So I spend a little more money than I should have. But thanks to my listener who gave me a gift, I was able to buy something I really needed for the trip. And but yeah, sometimes I do, but I don't overspend. I don't spend to the point where it's like, oh my God, I'm in debt. I spend and I know where to stop, you know, and I don't buy the most expensive anything. But yeah, sometimes that does make me feel better. And that's a clue. And I also overeat. And that's another clue that there's some things going on there, right? There are still some things there. But the biggest thing is Mondays are just horrific for me. I decided last night when I went to bed, so today's Monday. Last night was Sunday night, and I watched the finale of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, right? The last, when they're all together and, oh my God, that show. this one didn't have tremendous amount of conflict. And then there are people who are so clearly toxic, and it's like, wow, how come they're not? I mean, actually, the toxic people were broken up with, except for one. They were broken up with, so let's see. Anyway, aside from that, real life here, we're supposed to think 90 Day Fiancé is real, but yeah, I don't know. So, I don't know what I was saying before that, but needing that, you know, being alone. That I decided that today I was going to be conscious of when the anxiety kicks in, why the anxiety is kicking in. Because before, the day before I would go to work would be a day that I'd feel the normal, you know, oh, I have to go to work tomorrow, especially when I was a teacher, anxiety. But that's not what I've been feeling. I have been, you know, debilitating. I've had debilitating anxiety. And I think it's just because I have that anxious attachment issue with my husband that Chris brought up some things that I really understood. Like, when he's here, we do things together. I don't go out without him. And she said baby steps. And I think working has helped me tremendously, because maybe that was one of the issues I had with working, was the fact that I would be alone. Like, not alone in the sense of no one else was around, but my husband wasn't going to be there to hold my hand. And I even thought about that a few times, and I'm surprised I didn't really put that together, that he wasn't going to be there to comfort me if I didn't feel well. And that's maybe part of the reason I was so anxious to work. But now that I'm working and I know that I'm fine, and that actually I have a boss I kind of could go to if I didn't feel well. Like, if I felt really anxious about something, that I could go to him. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, to be honest with you. Because knowing that, like, I don't know, that's not usually the situation, right? With supervisors, that you can rely on them for that kind of support. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I think that has helped me. So that I was going to make a conscious effort this Monday, that if I felt anxious, I was going to focus on that and say, okay, why am I anxious? Where is this anxiety coming from? Now, sometimes we don't know why. A lot of times we don't know why, and that's frustrating, right? Sometimes our nervous system is just on edge, and you just have to wait it out. And it doesn't really have to be a specific issue. Just your nervous system is out of whack, and when it calms down, you will feel better. But there's nothing you could really do except wait it out. And that really is hard, because you don't want to wait it out. You just want to feel better. Well, I hope that this podcast was helpful, at least to give you an idea of what you may be going through if you're single and you're wanting a relationship, but you see that they're not working out. And that may be your childhood trauma, your little kid self running the show, saying, nope, I'm not going to get hurt by mom or dad, so I'm going to be the first one out the door. I'm not going to let anybody hurt me. And that's not a good thing, okay? Or you may be afraid to be alone like me. And that has been a problem I've had my entire life. And I'm going to work towards that, towards not needing to have someone physically in the house with me. Because nothing is going to happen. And I know that. Right? David's just at work. My husband, he's just at work. That's all. He's at work every day, right? That's all that's going on. There's nothing else going on. Well, I hope that this podcast was helpful, that you're going to be able to figure out what, you know, if you're having an anxious attachment, if you're, or you're so independent that you don't let anybody in. I love you guys so much, and I hope this was helpful. And if I remember, I'll put Chris in the show notes so you can watch that video. It's from a few weeks ago. And that we keep healing. We keep realizing I'm doing this. Look, I'm years and years into this, and I'm still figuring things out. But that's good, because that means we're constantly improving and getting better. And that's what we need to be doing. No one is perfect. You're never going to get to perfection. So it's always good to keep noticing things and going, okay, I'm having this issue. I need to deal with this issue. All right, guys. I love you so much. I hope this was helpful. And until next time.